Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We're on a very, very important subject, a seasonal subject. We are now in the last final days, if we look at the calendar of Jesus' walk on the earth in what is called Passion Week. Jesus' crucifixion is coming up in a few days on our calendar, his resurrection. And ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, it's a vital subject, a vital doctrine that I believe many are not concerned with. Many are willing to believe any philosophical rhetoric and not look at the scripture themselves. Pastor Davis and I have been talking about this for our broadcast today. Jesus said in Mark 14:28, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." In John chapter 11, verse 21 through 26, verse 23 and 25 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet he shall live again." Ladies and gentlemen, it's important to believe in the resurrection if we say that we're saved. And just as Jesus Christ, Pastor Davis read a moment ago, was the first fruits from the dead, that if they're first fruits, that's indicative of the fact there be other fruits or second fruits. Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, it's our guarantee, it's our deposit, it's our down payment. It is our assurance that we shall rise again. Ladies and gentlemen, death is not the end. The grave is not the end for the child of God, for the Christian.
Amen.
When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we have that assurance, that guarantee that because Jesus Christ rose from the grave physically, bodily, we will also rise again.
Amen.
At your leisure, ladies and gentlemen, study 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain and live shall be raised again. We're going to be resurrected, ladies and gentlemen. The grave is not the end. Death
Amen.
Is not the end. Death is simply the doorway to get us to glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to understand the truth of the biblical doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In fact, Pastor, take a moment and go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and read verse 9 and 10 for us. I believe it's imperative that our listeners understand that without the resurrection, without the confidence in the resurrection, the belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a person cannot be saved.
Amen. Amen. Scripture says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. It is a matter of believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm on my way to a devil's hell. I believe that you are God, come into flesh, died on the cross, was buried, rose again after the third day. And though I don't understand that, by faith I believe it.
Amen.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, that's biblical salvation. I believe we have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Raymond McFarlane, past student of Dr. Youngblood.
Brother Raymond, God bless you. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I'm very happy to hear from you, and I love the subject you're on. By the way, let me just reiterate what you just said. If a person is not does not believe in the resurrection, or if Christ was not raised from the dead, there is no way you can be saved. Or salvation is contingent on that fact of the resurrection.
Absolutely. Amen. I am thankful for your listening and for your call, and I'm delighted to hear from you. I am prayerful that everything is well with you health-wise and ministry-wise, so I'm thankful that you're able to call in and talk about that. Pastor, Brother McFarland, let me ask you a question. Why is it, in your opinion, share with our listeners, why do you believe that it is so difficult for the Christian to hear it, to understand it, and to believe it, that it's not a phantom, that Jesus literally, physically rose from the grave? Why is that so difficult for a believer, or a supposed believer, to believe and understand?
Well, the first and most important answer to that question, Dr. Youngblood, is that people don't quite understand their Bible. Most people read it, but they don't see it as God's word. They see it as just a book, like they would say, well, you know, like the Muslim have to have their book, and the Hindu have their book. They don't see it as just a religious practice, but they don't see it as God's word, as their life depends on it. And that is why they weigh the validity of God's word with their opinion. And so we need to approach Scripture with the problem and let the Scripture solve the problem. What they do, they twist Scripture to see if it can match their solution in their mind. And that is no way to approach Scripture. I'm glad when you taught me in school that you taught me that the Word of God is God's Word. It is in, there is no mistake. It is inherent. It is authoritative. And therefore, when we look at Scripture now, we have a totally brand new concept of God's Word, that is His Word coming directly from His mouth.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself, brother. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep listening. Invite others to join in and listen, and keep praying.
Yes, sir.
And as
thank
I say
you.
To each and every caller, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you,
Amen.
My brother. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good. God bless you, sir. I've been listening for a while. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very, very serious, very important theological, doctrinal, biblical question. What about the resurrection? We're talking about the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it fact, or is it fiction? There are a lot of people that have a number of different theories and philosophies about that. In fact, Pastor Davis, I'm just going to turn to a page here in my book on the resurrection and look at some of the absolute irrelevant but yet theories that are being promulgated. There's the protest about the resurrection of Jesus, and it's the prideful talk that so many have. It's the pernicious theories that people have. There's one that there are a lot of people today that still believe it was the wrong tomb theory. And on page 36 in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, it is the wrong tomb theory. This theory says that the risen Jesus Christ, the reason that he supposedly is seen by his followers, though he had been risen from the grave, was that they were all simply mistaken. They were all wrong and wrought up at the time, because the thing had taken place during Passover Passion Week. As a result of the chaos and the fear, anxiety, and sense of helplessness, the disciples just simply went back to the wrong tomb, and therefore the wrong tomb means that Jesus wasn't there. There was a stolen body theory, and as I state in my book on page 37, the stolen body theory is simply that Jesus' disciples listened to this, and they conspired with some of the Roman soldiers to steal the body of Jesus, and thus there would be an empty tomb, and they'd be able to declare falsely so the resurrection of Jesus, because he did not really raise from the dead. His body was simply stolen away. And then there were those that had the temporary burial theory That theory is says that the grave where Jesus was buried was only temporary, and the body then was secretly removed and buried someplace else. And therefore, the tomb, when the women arrived there on Easter Sunday morning, when the women arrived there, they found the tomb was empty because they had visited the tomb, and it was the empty tomb, the temporary burial. They buried him temporarily and removed him. Then the substitutionary theory is another one of the false, phony, fallacious theories. It is the substitution. And in the substitution theory, it says that Jesus had a look-alike. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully to the reason this is so important. In Islam today, the Islamic position is that Jesus did not die on the cross. They used a look-alike to be a fake story so that Christians can say that Jesus rose from the tomb. Ladies and gentlemen, that comes out of, it's born out of, the same ungodly, unholy, demonic theory that it's the substitution theory, that someone that looked like Jesus was crucified, someone that looked like Jesus was buried, and it was not Jesus at all. So then after that lookalike was then buried, then Jesus was able to walk around in the flesh and say, look at me, I rose from the grave. And then it's the legend theory, Pastor Davis. The seventh theory is the legend theory. This theory says that the resurrection is simply alleged. It is not true at all. This theory says that it was started by Jesus' disciples to keep his teachings alive after his death. And it was accomplished supposedly by inventing a story that the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and as a result of that, it is simply not true, that it is fallacious. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole point is, and you would be blessed and I believe educated in the scripture and encouraged and challenged. This book is chock full of evidence, biblically speaking, scripture after scripture. It's not a philosophical rhetoric. It is not something that I dreamed up. It is what the scripture says. It's called The Proofs of the Resurrection. It is a biblical doctrinal study on the resurrection of Jesus, 107 pages, and it retails for $16. We'll send that to you free, and we'll even pay the postage to get it to you. Each caller today will receive this book free, leaving your name and address with our call screener so that we'll be able to get that information and get the books to you. Pastor Davis, I'm concerned that so many people disavow and disbelieve the truth of the Word of God when it comes to the resurrection. And the promise of the resurrection is just as Jesus was bodily resurrected, so also the believer will be resurrected.
Amen.
You have your Bible there, and you just read a moment ago 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 once again.
Amen.
And read for us verses 40 through 45.
Amen. Say it here. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory.
Mm-hmm.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body.
Amen. Pastor Davis, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the classic study on the resurrection.
Amen.
There's 58 verses in that chapter, and it is probably the most in-depth study of bodily resurrection. And what it is telling us is that our bodies, as we have it today, cannot enter into heaven.
Amen.
It must die. Death is the doorway to resurrection and for life. It must die just as a seed, a grain of corn, is planted. And then it blossoms up and produces fruit. So also when we die, it's not the end. The grave is not the end for the child of God, because we have the assurance, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was the first fruits from the dead. And as a result of that, it's our guarantee. It is our down payment. It is our deposit. It is our assurance that we'll rise again.
Amen.
Read in that same chapter, verses 51 through 58.
Amen. Amen. Says here, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I feel so good about that. Amen.
I could preach that for about 2 hours.
Amen. 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 What a blessing.
We need to have a Showtime stretcher. I've told AJ before the broadcast, we need about 2 hours today to get the subject in.
Amen.
But
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that you've joined us. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Love to hear from you. Do you have questions about the resurrection? Do you doubt the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to add to the conversation about the question today? What about the bodily resurrection? Is it fact or is it fiction? Have you been taught? What are your questions? What have you heard? What are others saying? Pastor Davis, I want to ask you some very poignant questions. And one of the questions that I think is so needed today, why are there so many so-called Christians that do not believe in Jesus' resurrection? What is your thoughts about that? There are a lot of Christians that will say, well, I just don't believe it. Other Christians say, I don't know. Others say, well, it doesn't make any difference. How do you respond to that response system out there, and what do you think causes it?
Well, let me say the number one thing. Let me advise you and warn you first to be sure and very sure that you are a Christian.
Amen.
Because as you so folks said before, they are so-called Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the number one reason why they don't believe. They may just be so-called Christians.
That's right. And name
now, my second thought about that is, Dr. Youngblood, if Christ has been raised from the dead, and if it is true, like the scripture said, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and if it is true, like the scripture said, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Right.
Then they are afraid of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think those are the two main reasons why they have problems believing that Christ has been raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, going back to what I said earlier, check yourself.
That's right.
Make sure that you're not just a so-called Christian. Because true Christians, true believers, believe in the word of God, and they take it as at face value.
Absolutely.
They know and understand that it is his word.
I've said, Pastor Davis, a million times, a lot of things I don't understand in the scripture, but I believe it because God said it.
Amen.
It's the faith factor. It's an impossibility for any human being to read the scripture and totally fathom and understand every nuance and every answer of the scripture. But it's the faith factor. Either we faith it, believe it by God, take it from God by faith, or we don't. Pastor, there's some thoughts. What do you have to say about the testimonies of the resurrection of Jesus? What are some of the testimonies about the resurrection of Jesus? Share that thought with us.
Well, as I began to study down through the scriptures, Dr. Youngblood and myself, and I thank God for Conservative Theological University as well, because there were some truths that I was already aware of before I enrolled here at the school. But then there were truths, amen, that I were able to discover and confirm even the more,
amen,
through my course of study here. So I thank God for you. And amen, for Dr. Phelps and all the others, amen, who put the curriculum together to present to the students to help keep us in the straight and narrow.
Amen.
This is what it's all about.
What it's about.
Amen. But I thank God, amen, that as I read down through the scriptures, there were 9 faithful witnesses that I found in the scripture that will testify. I call them faithful testimonies of the fact that Christ died and rose from the dead. For the New Testament Christian, that those that just want to dwell on the New Testament, the number one thing is mercy. Mercy is a witness. Mercy testified that Christ rose from the dead, because when you go to, amen, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, here's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, amen, mercy, amen, he presented mercy, amen, to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which had begotten us, this is what Peter said, again unto a lively hope. That's our lively hope. It's a living hope.
Amen.
Christ is not dead. He is our living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Right.
That's 1 Peter 1 and 3. The next faithful witness I have, Dr. Youngblood, is the cross. Amen. The scripture said, amen, that it was a curse for any man to be nailed, amen, on a tree.
Right.
But that cross bears, amen, testimony that Christ died, amen, amen, on that cross, and he was resurrected, because when they took him down, they put him in Joseph's new tomb. That's my third witness. Amen. The new tomb, the grave, where they laid him. Even when you visit, amen, Israel on today and go to that place where they laid him, the sign up over the door said, he is not here.
He's risen.
He is risen. Amen. So that makes me feel good. Amen. That's a great witness. Amen. To, amen, encourage my soul.
Amen. Hold your thought there just for a moment, Pastor. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. That is our greatest hope. Our greatest hope. I know that we're going to be able to see our loved ones again.
Amen.
And that we... And for those of us who have the children that have passed on, we long for that, and we look forward to that day.
Amen.
And we really believe, well, I was always taught that it was a literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And, you were taught right.
And that there was no trickery going on there. I mean, I don't think that that was never even part of my belief system, even as a young adult when I was much younger and had a lot more questions about things. That was never part of it. I'll make this brief, but you know, there's an old song that says, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Right.
What a
ain't
blessing.
No grave. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Amen.
Amen.
So, thank you.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Miranda, for your call, for your input. You're spot on with that. I'm delighted to hear your testimony of faith. Pastor, share some more. Our time is rapidly dissipating, but share some more thoughts about the testimonies about the cross and about the resurrection.
Amen. Amen. So my next amen witness would be, amen, the two angels, amen, that were at his head and at his feet. Book of John chapter 20, verses 12 through 13. Amen. The next witness would be Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
When she went and stooped down and looked, amen, she didn't see the body.
Right.
But the two angels came to her and confirmed, amen, that he is not here. He's risen, like he said, go, amen, and tell the disciple that he's risen from the dead.
And Pastor, you touched on that, and Jesus had already told his disciples, when I am resurrected, I'll meet you guys back in Galilee.
Amen.
He had already preset an appointment with his disciples with the full assurance and the knowledge, because keep in mind, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and he knew that he would be raised again, and he told them, I'm going to meet you in Galilee.
Amen. 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 And then we have, amen, the disciples.
Yes.
Amen. In the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23.
Yes.
Where they assemble together for fear of the Jews, the scripture say Jesus walked right through the door.
That's right.
In that glorified, resurrected body, he didn't have to knock, the young blood, and he didn't have to put a key in the door to unlock it.
That's right.
He walked right through, amen, in that glorified, resurrected body, and he told them to touch him, handle him, see that I'm not a phantom, I'm not a spirit.
Good proof, good evidence, yes.
Amen, amen. And then we have Thomas, amen. He wasn't there that day.
But he doubted.
Amen. But Christ came back again to prove it out to himself,
right,
because he wanted all of his faithful followers to be on the same page.
Absolutely.
Amen. So Thomas was able, amen, to confirm the fact, amen, that he was risen from the dead because he reached down and touched him.
Yes.
I'm so thankful on the day God will let you touch
me.
Amen.
He put his hand in his side.
Amen.
And he said, and Jesus basically encouraged him with, you believe because you've seen and touched, but how about those that have not and they yet believe?
Amen. Amen. And last but not least, then we have, amen, the faithful disciples that were on the Emmaus Road in Luke chapter 24.
Luke 24.
Amen. He came, amen, in their midst, and they didn't know who he were.
Mm-hmm.
But he began to preach the gospel to them.
Right.
That's what I'll just cut that in short.
Amen.
Amen.
And when he began to preach to them, their eyes were opened, the scripture says.
Amen.
So, Pastor, it's an impossibility for all of these. In fact, in one place, 500 at one time saw Jesus in his resurrected body.
Amen.
An impossibility to fake that. It's an impossibility to make believe that. It's all factual, directly from the scripture.
Amen.
We have Greg on the line. Greg, go with your question or comment, please.
I have a quote from Chuck Colson. I don't know if you shared that today, Charles Colson or Chuck Colson.
Go ahead. That'd be good.
From Watergate fame, you know, the Watergate Hotel break-in and the subsequent cover-up, that cover-up fell apart within days, it seemed like. It came unglued. Well, Chuck Colson said, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me that 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. And from a biblical standpoint, we know that it's critical to salvation. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a key. It's a key component.
Amen. Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for that addition. We're going to squeeze in Austin. With Austin, we've got about 40 seconds. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I pray that everyone listening to this program has changed. I know you guys are well. I love listening to you. I just wanted to share a quick testimony on just how our God is an overcomer of the grave, and he was resurrected. And just with the tomb being empty, anything is possible. And if you put that impossible trust in the Lord Jesus, just my testimony, he has freed me from addiction, restored my marriage, and restoring God, and he brings new life.
Amen.
Thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you, Austin. That's a wonderful testimony. I'm thankful for you and for that testimony. And God bless you for sharing it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.